Thank you, my favorite son-in-law. Hallelujah. Chrissy is my one and only. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we love Josh. Pastor Josh to you, but Josh. Hallelujah. But, we've had a great time. I won't tell the story about him and Anna, but I helped them through some things there whenever she didn't realize what a good deal she was getting to marry Josh. Praise God. How's that, Josh? I'm really coming back good here. Hallelujah. But we're happy to be here. So excited to be here. And Bonnie and I, we came down to celebrate our daughter's birthday. Hallelujah. So 40 years old. Praise God. Amen. Born at 2:59 a.m. in the morning. Hallelujah. Couldn't wait till later. I mean, you know, let me have a little sleep, but that's okay. Praise God. But she's always been there. We'll tell maybe a few things. You know, some people say, "Is Anna always been this generation?" Listen, when the doctor was delivering her, Bonnie went through the prepared class birth and all this stuff. So I'm back there with her, you know, and it was a quick delivery. I mean, we got the hospital at midnight, I think, and she had her at 2:59. So 3 hours later, she had our little girl. But her head's coming out. And the doctor's working there, and all of a sudden he goes, "Whoa!" And she just slid around, and he grabbed her by the heels. And I looked at her mom, and I thought, "Oh, here we go. Hallelujah. She's going to be wild. Hallelujah. Praise God." But we've had a great time together. Amen. And we're privileged and honored to share with you today. And so let's pray, and let's get in the Word. Father, we do thank you now and praise you for this time to share the word. We trust you, Holy Spirit, to grant us utterance. And Lord, we thank you. We set ourselves today to be good ground. Lord, we set ourselves to hear this word, to receive the word, and to be doers of the word. And we thank you, Lord, as we act upon these truths that you will bring forth fruit in our lives to your glory. And so we just bless you, praise you. We thank you, Lord, for working with us and confirming your word in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. I'm going to be sharing some things about you know, being a mom and dad, being a grandparent. We've done that now. Praise God. And Anna's 40. I've been in the ministry for 46 years, so she was born into ministry. Praise God. So that's one of the things she's known from all of her life. She's a PK, hallelujah, preacher's kid. And so that's what she was raised up as. And so we've had unique situations. And Bonnie and I both, we kind of came from different backgrounds than what we raised our kids. My mom was a single parent and until I was about about 4 years old, and she remarried with my dad. He adopted me, praise God, but they were just they believed in God, but we didn't go to church much, you know, didn't know a whole lot, but they did a good job. Then Bonnie's same situation, kind of came from a somewhat a little dysfunctional. Her dad was killed in an accident whenever she was young, about 10, and so she had to raised up without. So when we got saved and gave our hearts to the Lord and got married, and then we went to Rhema and stuff, we were not really prepared to train children. Because, you know, we kind of came from various backgrounds. I don't know how many people in here can relate, but, you know, we didn't know a whole lot. I mean, our parents did as well as they could. They loved God as far as they could love God. But I wasn't taught a whole lot. In fact, whenever we went to church first time after we got married, I was playing football and going to school down in East Tennessee. And so Bonnie and I went to the church where the chaplain was the pastor, you know. And so that morning they were having communion. Now everybody knows what communion is, right? Well, let me tell you where I was. I had no idea what they were doing. I'd never seen a communion before, never participated in a communion before. And I asked Bonnie, I said, "What are they doing?" She goes, "Oh, they're going to have communion today." And I said, "Okay, what's that?" She goes, "You know, it's the bread and the wine." I said, "They drink wine in this Baptist church?" thought we weren't allowed to drink. But anyway, she says, no, it's juice. I said, well, why don't they call it bread and juice? But anyway, she finally looked at me. She goes, just listen to the preacher. You'll find out what they're doing. Hallelujah. But those were kind of like our you know, our background when we kind of came to the Lord. We didn't know a whole lot. In fact, you know, some of y'all wouldn't know this. Some of our age would. How many in here can remember S&H green stamps? Anybody know those? Oh, yeah, see, I'm getting our generation. Well, you know, we're going to school. We started going to this filling stations and different places. You could get stamps, and we get a book. And so after you got a book full or a couple books, you could go to a redemption store, and you could cash it in and get stuff, okay? And so we had about a book and a half. We went to this place to see what we could get, and there was a Bible because I had no idea where you could get a Bible because we didn't have one, okay? And so they had one, and for a book, we could cash in a book of S&H Green Stamps and get a Bible. So that's how we got our first Bible. We went to an S&H Green Stamp store and got a Bible. So when I start talking to you and you think, well, he's always been in the ministry, he's always been, you're finding out where I came from, okay? We didn't know a whole lot. We just had to grow, praise God, and get into the Word. But thank God, you can get into the Word and grow, and it'll change your life. Amen. And we made the commitment to get into the Word of God. We share that Bible, and we would pray. And then, you know, we got a hold of some things on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd never been around that, you know. And so we grabbed that truth, and then we got the revelation that we were redeemed from the curse. And glory to God, found out we didn't have to be poor, sick, defeated, and broken, and beat down the rest of our lives. Amen. And you say, well, you're talking about family. What's all this have to do with family? Well, you see, if you don't break certain curses and certain things in your life, you'll pass them on to the next generation. Are you listening to me? And we chose, we weren't going to pass on defeat, failure, a lack of knowledge of God, a lack of knowing the Lord, working with God. We were not going to pass that on our kids. Amen? We were going to find out who we are in Christ. Bonnie and I made a commitment that we were going to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were going to serve Him with everything that's in us and find out what being a Christian is supposed to be like. Amen. And so, you know, we have discovered, and we got into the Word, then we got to, fortunately, we were introduced to Kenneth Hagin, and we got to know Brother Hagin well and went to school there and got a hold of his truths and got to learn other things. And then, you know, as you get a foundation in the Word and you begin to make those truths real in your life, then, you know, Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4, he taught about the sower sows the word. Anybody remember that parable there he's teaching? And he talks about how the good ground receives that word and it produces in their lives. And then he goes on and he says some things. He's still teaching on sowing the word. And he says this. He says, to him who hears, more will be given. And to him who has not, that which he has will be taken away. You know what he's talking about? He's still talking about the word. He says, when you hear the word and you receive that word and it begins to work in your life, it will cause you to be open to receive more truth from God. Amen? And so it's a progressive growth track that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, that the more you yield to the Word and let the Word get in you and act on that Word, the more it opens you up for God to give you more truth and more Word and more truth and more Word. And the first thing you know, you're living a whole different life than you ever thought. And you know what's so great about it? When you start breaking the curse of the enemy off of your family and off your life, whenever Bonnie and I really got the truth, my parents weren't really living that much for the Lord. But you know what? We got both my mom and dad in church and saved and living for God. And it goes backwards, praise God. They started seeing in us, and it even went backwards, praise the Lord. But it also went forward because we instilled the truths that we knew into our son and daughter. And we spoke into them the things that God was giving us. And our home was a Christian home. Anna loved one of the rules that we did. Hallelujah. I had a rule that whenever we, you know, you had the phones in the homes back in those days. You didn't have the little cell phone you carry around with you. And so when someone would call our home, if one of the kids were to answer, they would say, praise the Lord, Huffman Residence. And they used to hate doing that. Amen. And because they hated so much, I just refused to not let them not do it. Hallelujah. I thought, I'm gonna teach you to be bold. Hallelujah. And every now and then, I'd call home when they were there just to see how they were answering the phone. Amen. Hallelujah. But we had good times. Praise God. But I want to begin here in Proverbs 13 and verse 22. In the New King James, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I like that. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. In other words, you know, as a mom and dad, you can be an influence to your children and your grandchildren. And we should be. We should be influencing all the way down to the next generation. I like what the Amplified Classic says in verse 22. He says, a good man leaves an inheritance. Now, here's the inheritance that you want to leave, of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. Isn't it good? See, a lot of times we look at inheritance, we think it's money and this and that. How many of you found out money corrupts and everything else? And if that's all you're into, you're probably not going to leave much of an inheritance. But you know what he's looking at? He's looking at moral stability. He's looking at how you living your life is how you're going to pass it on. The goodness of God that's in your life. See, these are things that you should be passing on. And then the Message Bible says a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. I like that. And so we, each and every one of us, should be living a good life, a holy life, a moral life, a life that is founded upon the Scriptures and living for the Lord Jesus Christ, not just so that we can walk in the blessings of heaven, but because we want our children to walk in the blessings of heaven. And then we want them to pass it on to their children, and so that we begin to see generation after generation now walking in the blessing of the Lord and not in the curse of the law. Amen? I want my children to be blessed. I want them to prosper. I want them to be successful in life. And then at the same time, I want their children to prosper and be successful in life. Amen? And you see, and we have to do this because we're living, how many of you found out, in a world that's not geared for success and happiness? Because there's the devil out here, and he's out to destroy everything that he can put his hands on. And he will destroy your home. He'll destroy your life. He'll destroy your family. He'll destroy everything about you. And the only way you can defeat him is the same way the Lord Jesus defeated him. When Jesus came out of the river after being filled with the Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit of God immediately led him into the wilderness. Well, that doesn't sound right, does it? Why would God lead anybody into the wilderness? Maybe it's because God wants to establish in you that you can overcome every obstacle so that whenever you have to help somebody else, you have confidence to do it. Are you listening to me? And the Lord Jesus, before he ever ministered to anybody, he established that it worked for him. Now, there's truth here I want you to get. If it's not working in me, how am I going to pass it on to somebody else? So every one of us, first of all, have to make the decision to do what? I'm going to live what I'm going to teach. Amen? I'm going to prove it out in my life before I try to make you do it. And I'm going to make it work in me before I'm going to try to make it work in my kids. Hallelujah. Because when it's working in me, it's not just a theory or some kind of a concept that I'm trying to pass on. It's a real living life substance that's working in my life. Amen? They can see it operating in my life. And therefore, it's easy for them to receive that and walk in it. Praise God. So I want to leave some good things to my children. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 5 over here real quick. Where does this all begin? In Ephesians 5, it begins with mom and dad. It begins right there. If you're going to have your children and your grandchildren, then you've got to make some commitments to each other right away. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll look in verse 31. We'll read it to you out of the New King James first. He says this, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects or reverences her husband." Notice here that the, well, let me read to you. This kind of helps bring it out too. The Message translation says this way, "And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides, now listen, a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. That's good, isn't it? You know what the Apostle Paul is writing here in the Message brings down? He says, you know what? I don't pretend to understand everything. And Paul will let you know he was constantly learning more and growing in his walk with God. Amen? How many of you here know more today than you did maybe a year ago in your walk with the Lord? I hope everybody. Praise God. Amen. If not, we're going to have a prayer session right now. Amen. No, as we walk with the Lord, we learn. Sometimes, you know, we learn things the hard way. What's the hard way? We made a mistake. We had to go back, amen, and figure out where we missed it and then fix it and then go on. Praise God. Somebody said, experience is a great teacher. I said, no, experience is a hard teacher. The Holy Ghost is a good teacher. Amen. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost teaching me than experience teaching me. Because I want the Holy Ghost. He does, you know, I don't have to bang my head against the wall and get a pump down on my forehead to find out that don't work. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit says, don't hit your head on that wall. Amen. That's a whole lot better than hitting the wall. And so, but there are times, see, that we don't understand. But the thing comes down to is this. Paul writing here to the church, he's talking to the mom and dads. He's saying, listen, if you can find out how Jesus loves the church, man, you can find out how to love your wife. And he says, ladies, if you can find out how the church is supposed to live for the Lord and with the Lord, not out of duty, not out of responsibility, but out of intimacy and out of relationship, then you can learn how a husband and wife are supposed to live with each other. See what I'm saying? And I want to tell you something. If you've got children with you right now, the greatest gift you can give them is to love each other. Moms and dads love each other. In a home where dad and mom love each other and walk in the love of God, and it's a real love, they really do love each other, that's a stable home. That's a home where kids are going to listen to what's going on because they see it in mom and dad. Bonnie and I have always done this. Whenever we first got married, and we, like I said, we didn't know a whole lot, but you know, we would give our hearts totally to the Lord. We were all in, and it was a few weeks after we got married, we were in church, and after church, I went, we went back to our little apartment, and I looked there, and I said, here's a commitment we're going to make to each other. I said, because I came from a broken situation, and you came from difficult times, and I said, we're not going to have that in our lives. I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, I'm going to make a law here that I have to be your second love, and you have to be my second love. And she looked at me, and she goes, what? And I said, yeah. I said, I have to love Jesus first, and you second. And you have to love Jesus first, and me second. Because if Jesus is your first love, then your second love will always be there for you. Then you can love me the way I'm supposed to be loved, because you love Jesus first, and you can love me through your relationship with Jesus. And also, you'll never mess up on me, because to mess up on me, you'd have to mess up on Jesus first. You'd have to break your relationship with him before you break your relationship with me. And I would have to do the same thing. And you know what? We made that our commitment. We made it the commitment that we were going to live our lives. And to this day, she's my second love. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is my first love. And I'm her second love because Jesus, and because of that, I can love her with a God kind of love, and she can love me with a God kind of love, and it makes our love for each other even that much greater. Yeah. Amen? Now, when we brought our kids in, we brought them into that environment. We wanted them to see that. We wanted them to know that, praise God. And we wanted them to be a part of our lives, praise God, because in Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And you train by example as well as by precept. Amen? In other words, I can't train it if I'm not doing it. Any military person will know that whenever that sergeant is training up that young bunch of recruits, they don't want to test him. Because he's not only telling them how they can do it, he can take them all down if he needs to. Because he can do it. And you want to follow somebody that can do it, not somebody that can talk about doing it. Amen? And so therefore, you know, when you begin to train your children, guess what you got to do? You got to train them out of what's real in you, because kids are smart and they pick up on what's false and what's not true. Amen. And they have to see it in you. And it's a situation where it's not a performance, it's a reality. Are you hearing me? One of the things that touched my heart so much is whenever I had my 60th birthday, last year. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, God won't bless the line preachers, so I can't say that. But anyway, whenever I had my 60th birthday, they had a surprise party. Bonnie put it together, and it was really good. And they got me. Praise God. Usually, you can't pull something over on me, but they got me on that one. But one of the things that Anna shared was this. She talked about, and I didn't know it until then. She said, you know, my dad always had a study when we could at the house, because that's where I did most of my study, preparation for ministry, sermons, and right down the line. But it was my prayer closet, my place. And so my routine is to go in there and spend an hour or so in prayer, praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, ministering to the Lord, because I try to minister out of what's in me as an overflow to others, okay? I make it happen to me. I'm not going to preach it to you if I'm not doing it myself. Okay? And she said, when I was a little girl, she said one of the things she enjoyed doing was she would go to my door and sit there. She wanted to know what I was doing. And she sat there and listened to me pray in tongues for an hour and worship God. She said, I enjoyed going as a little girl growing up, listening to my dad in his office, worshiping and praying and ministering to the Lord. I didn't know she was doing that. I wasn't doing it as an act or as a performance. I was doing it because that's who I am. Are you listening to me? So that whenever I led them to do it, they knew it wasn't me wanting them to just do something. It was me passing on to them something that's working for me. Amen? And so the Bible talks about training up a child, and the way there to go. In fact, if Proverbs 22:6 in the Good News Bible says, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their life. That's good, isn't it? Teach children how they're to live, and they'll remember it all their life. Well, you know, in training up your child and ministering to your child, there's three things I want to bring out to you real quick, and because we just need to see these. Number one, training up a child is dedication. Training your child begins with dedicating your child to the Lord. Are you listening to me? Every one of us, I don't care if your kids are grown now and you have grandkids, you can never dedicate them. Lord, give them to the Lord today. Amen. Lord, they're dedicated to you. But, you know, we dedicate our children to the Lord. Why do you do that? Because your child belongs to God. And you actually have just been given stewardship to raise that child up for the Lord. Amen. Psalm 127:3 says that children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You ever thought about this? Every time we have a child, we bring a child into the world, we just produced an immortal being. We produced a being that will live forever, and we have the responsibility to help it to make the right decision as to where it's going to live forever. Amen. One of the reasons we were very strong living for the Lord, training our children, praying with them, ministering to them, speaking the word to them, having them in church, was because we understood. I'd grabbed the revelation. Heaven and hell are real, and eternity is real. And I just brought two human beings into this world, my wife and I did, that are going to live forever now. And God has given me the stewardship or the responsibility to help them to make right choices so that they're going to live for God and live in heaven whenever they die. And we're going to have a great reunion in heaven someday with everybody that's gone on before us. Hallelujah. And then I knew this, they're going to raise, if we live and God's with us and works with us, if I've dedicated them to the Lord, then, you know, they're going to get married, then they're going to have kids. And those kids, the Bible says, is the heritage of an older man is his children's children, praise God. And my heritage is going to go into there. And guess what? I'm going to help them dedicate their children to the Lord. And I'm going to be able to help influence my grandkids so that they will live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, here's the great thing about grandparenting over parenting. Whenever my son had his first son, Josh, my son Josh and my son-in-law Josh. But anyway, he had Jaden. And Jaden's growing up, and then here comes Cade. And one time, you know, I'm out ministering somewhere, and Josh was preaching on Sunday morning, and he shared some things. So the next Sunday I said, I'm going to have to step up here and correct some bad doctrine. Hallelujah. My son preached last week that my dad has really changed because my dad treats my son a whole lot different than he treated his own son. And what he was talking about was the candy drawer in my office at the church. Hallelujah. And he was talking about staying up late at Nan and Papa's house when they took care of the kids. And he was talking about, you know, all the fun times of sneaking out and getting ice cream. Jaden and Kate, hallelujah, when they was little, doing stuff and letting them buy with things and enjoying life. So I stepped up and I said, well, let me straighten out some bad doctrine. I said, Joshua said that his dad sure treats his son differently than he treated his son. I said, because as a dad, my responsibility is to train up my son in the ways to go. But as a granddad, my job is to have fun with his son as he's being trained up in the way he should go. And enjoy having a grandchild. Hallelujah. And besides, if I didn't do some things like this, you wouldn't have anything to train. Hallelujah. So you get to still influence them, praise God, but you do reinforce what mom and dad are saying to them. Hallelujah. You become, as grandparents, we found out that we get to become the softer side of the sounding board that helps them to understand that mom said that because she loves you. Amen? We don't agree with her, but she loves you. Now, we don't say that. But we do share that, but we reinforce. Why? Because we're wanting them to grab the truths that we try to pass on to theirs. And we want our grandchildren to be raised up, learning their way and doing what they're doing, walking in their calling. Amen? Second part, once you've dedicated them, is instruction. We teach our children about God and His nature and how to live their lives for Him. Instruction. You know, we could say it like this. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 8, you know, the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul's talking about gifts and graces and talents and vocations and callings and right down the line. And he's not just talking about ministry. I believe that every person born into this world, God gives you something special you can do. You have unique talents and abilities. And I believe everyone's got a vocation, both a secular and a spiritual vocation that you can do. Things that you can do that just come natural to you, that you're good at. And along with that, I believe there's grace, because I don't believe God just creates somebody and goes, poof, just whatever. I believe God gives us abilities, and I believe He gives us talents, and I believe He gives us unique things to help us in life, but also to serve Him in the church. Amen? And then along with that, He gives you the gift, the grace, and the ability to get it done. And I believe as a parent, and then helping as a grandparent, we are to help our children to discover that place. Discover their talents. Discover their abilities. You see, I didn't call either one of my children into the ministry. I didn't tell them to go into the ministry. What I tried to do, and I did it, Monty and I did it fairly well apparently, is this: we encouraged them to find their place. Locate what they were called to do. Find their niche in life. And then be the very best they could be. My son, you know, he was struggling about what he was to do as a senior in high school. And so he goes all the way up to the end of the year, And he's at the state track meet, and we'd helped him with some stuff, you know, and he's competing. And so right before he goes down, actually, and he's ready to compete, we're setting up in the stands, and he comes up, and we talked for a few weeks, and he didn't know whether I want to go to the college and do this or I want to go to this. And so he comes up to me, and he says, oh, Mom and Dad, I discovered today really in my heart what I want to do. Now, we're at a track meet in a stadium, okay? And so we're sitting there, and he goes, you know, I went to the counselor today, and I was going to sign up because a guy in a church, he was a chiropractor, and I could go, and I could go to school, and I could go on college, and I could go with him, and I could work, and I think I would enjoy that. And I thought about it, and I was getting ready to sign. And then I thought, something came to him and says, you know you're not called to do that. I've called you to follow your dad. You're walking the ministry, and you're to preach my gospel. So he says, I made up my mind. I'm going to go to Bible school. And he goes down and does his activity. And, of course, his mom and I are sitting up there going, oh, my God, honey. Amen. Now, Anna was a little different. She kind of grew up saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. She was kind of more direct. And she and I had a lot of times together and doing different things. And whenever she came out, she was going to go to Bible school. She's going to go in the children. She's going to minister. And so she kind of learned, you know, but we didn't call either one of our kids in the ministry. We won't try to call any of our grandkids in the ministry. What we will do is support Mom and Dad and reinforce and help them locate what they're supposed to do so they can live their lives. They can walk their walk. And they can bring glory to God in their own unique way. Amen? And then finally, the third thing here in training your children and helping with your grandchildren is this, motivation. The word motivation means to nourish. Train up a child. Nourish a child, Ephesians 6 says. Well, parents are to create a taste or a desire within your child so that your child internally is motivated from his heart and not just externally compelled to live for God. Do you hear me? I want my children to live for God because they want to live for God, not because I'm making them live for God. And to do that, I can't get up on Sunday mornings and fuss because I got to go to church. Because they're hearing me fuss about going to church. They think I'm going to church out of obligation. So I got to get up on Sunday morning and say, glory to God, let's go to church. Hallelujah. I don't care what went on the night before. I can't say, well, I got to go pray. No, I got to say, glory to God, yucks you. I just got to spend some time in prayer for the Lord. See, everything I do has to be out of a relationship, not out of duty. Are you hearing me? And I want my grandkids to see that I serve the Lord and I live for God. And as I close out my 60s and go on in and look at the next decade, I want them to see I'm still enjoying being a Christian. I'm having fun. I'm serving the Lord because I love God. I've done this for the last 46 years because I love God and not because I've had to, but because I get to. Carly said, Papa, if you had an opportunity to do your most favorite thing, she asked me this yesterday and said, and you could do anything, And what would you do? I said, well, Carly, I've been doing that for the last 46 years. I wouldn't trade what I'd do for anything in the world. With all the hardships, with all the struggles, with everything, I love living for the Lord and doing what I do for Jesus. And she just smiled. Normally she'd have a comeback, but she just smiled. And you know what? I pray that reinforced Mom and Dad. But it didn't come out of me having to think. It immediately rose up in my spirit. I didn't think of anything else. Now, I went to school to be an educator. My degree is in education. I was going to coach. I was going to be an educator. I was going to try to do things and help kids in high schools where I was, well, my degree was in. I was going to teach and help them to have a relationship and help them through their high school years and coach and build character in their lives as they play sports and do things. I never did any of that. I don't regret a minute of it, praise God. Because I've had people come say, yeah, but Pastor, you've been teaching and coaching for all these years because you teach and coach us every Sunday morning. Well, thank God for that, amen. So you see, as parents, you're always going to be parenting. You're always going to be parenting. We're here. We're always here for Anna and Josh. We're always there to talk and share and pray and agree and encourage them to do what God's called them to do and to keep going and keep working. And we're there as parents and grandparents to reinforce our grandkids and work with them. You know, Kay's got a girlfriend in our youth group. Yay. Hallelujah. So he comes up with his other pawpaw and comes and stays at our house over the weekend, and we get to see him for 10 minutes. Hallelujah. And he's driving Nana's car all weekend. Hallelujah. So we got to feed him for a couple times, see him for about 10 or 15 minutes, and put a half a tank of gas back in the car when he left. Glory to God. Reinforcing. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what we're doing? We're, as grandparents, we're trying to help our grandchildren grow up, finding their place, dealing with life's difficulties, making good decisions, reinforcing and strengthening them as they do it. And we want them to live their lives out of just an intentional relationship with the Lord, not out of compulsion of, I don't want to go to hell someday, or I don't want to disappoint mom and dad, or I want them to live for God because they love God. And I want them to love God because they saw me loving God. Are you listening to me? And it was real. That's why it's so important that we live this and walk this in front of our kids and grandkids. Amen? And you know, you don't have to be perfect in this. In Hebrews 11:21, it's amazing. You got the great chapter of faith. And then you get to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21, and he says, and Jacob. Now, you know, Jacob was, the grandson of Abraham. And stuff. But, you know, Jacob, he was a mess there in the beginning. Remember? He conned his brother out of the birthright with a piece of meat. I mean, he took advantage of the situation. He goes over and he has to escape out of the land, and he goes over and works for his eventual father-in-law, and he gets done to him what he done to everybody else. He's kind of a supplanter and a shyster going through, and ends up getting a couple wives, one he wanted, one he didn't. But he stays faithful. And then he has problems with some of his, a little bit of his kids. But you know what's something? Jacob still makes the hall of fame, or the hall of faith, in Hebrews 11. It says, and then Jacob brought both of his grandsons, Joseph's sons, and leaning upon his staff, spoke a blessing over them. You know, Jacob as a grandfather was speaking blessing over his grandchildren. And you know, you go back and you find out that Jacob, you know, had an encounter with God, and his name was changed to Israel. An entire nation became named after him. And because of his encounter with the Lord, Jacob's nature changed. He stopped being about him. And through his seed, God raised up a nation. You know, his sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. So he must have done something good, didn't he? It means he must have ministered to his sons, even out of all of his imperfections. And he must have taught them to trust God. And he must have been there for them. And he still had a trust in God because he was blessing his grandchildren in his latter days. So he was leaving an inheritance to his children's children. You say, now, Pastor, why would you bring Jacob into this to finish? Because I don't want you to think that you're going to do this perfect every day of your life. And I don't want you to ever let the devil condemn you and beat you up and beat you down and tell you that you'll never get it right. Because, see, Jacob struggled, but Jacob got it right. Amen? And I don't care where you're at or what's going on right now in your home, your family, your life. God's bigger than any situation. But I'm going to tell you what's going to change it around. You have to quit wrestling with God and give in and let him touch you. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night and finally just gave in. And when he walked out of there, he was a changed man. And a lot of us, we're wrestling with God when we should just finally just go ahead and give in and say, Lord, no longer my will, your will be done. Help me, Lord, to fix things that I messed up. Help me, Lord, to make things better in the days ahead. And Lord, help me live in such a way that my children and then their children are going to want to serve you because of the change you made in me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you now and praise you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we just thank you today that, Lord, you've called us. Isn't this a lifetime calling? That we get to enjoy being a husband and a wife. We get to enjoy being a mom and a dad. We get to enjoy being grandparents. And Lord God, we get to carry with us an inheritance that we get to pass on. And Lord, we're not perfect, and we don't pretend to know everything and claim to know everything, even as Paul said. But one thing we do learn from the scriptures, and that is how to treat each other, how to love each other, and how to love you. And I pray today, Lord, right now, over every home, every family, over every individual, Lord God, I pray today for your hand to be upon each and every one of us. That, Lord God, in this hour when the enemy is attacking the family unit so strong, trying to destroy homes and trying to destroy families, we pray, Lord God, today that you would be our strength. You would be our shield and, Lord God, our protector. And you would be the one that keeps us strong together. And that, Lord God, you would be the anchor that keeps us steady in the midst of the storm. And that, Lord God, our families will be blessed. That, Lord God, you'll help us today to make those decisions that need to be made that will bring your presence, your anointing, and your glory into our homes and bring us into a place where we walk with you. We thank you for these things. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, each one searching your heart, God is raising up families in this hour to stand strong, to be strong. Don't let any past mistakes hinder you from being that strong family. Mistakes aren't forever. God says if you mess up, if you'll come to him and freely admit it, he's faithful and just and true to his own nature and promises, and he forgives. And the great thing about God is when he forgives it, he fixes it. So if you're here today and you say, I've messed up some areas, then you ask God to forgive you and let him help you fix it, because his grace is there to help you. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, he said, where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. God's grace is greater if we'll let him work it in our life. Right now, maybe you're here today and you're like Bonnie and I were. Maybe it's raised to believe in God, but not really committed to the Lord. We gave our hearts to Jesus. I did. I made a personal commitment. Walk forward on a Sunday morning, just like this. And stood before all my friends and football team and everybody else and declared that Jesus Christ would now be my Lord. And I would not be ashamed to call him my Lord. I made that commitment to Christ. And I've never fallen away, never thought about leaving it. I made an eternal commitment. If you've never made that eternal commitment to Jesus as your Lord, that's the first step in being a husband, a wife, a mom, and a dad. That's the first step. You've got to have Jesus. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Evan, I need Jesus in my heart and in my life, I'd like to pray with you this morning, just a simple prayer that God will hear. Maybe you're a child, young person, old person, in between. You're never too young and you're never too old to make that commitment to the Lord. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Your heart's pounding, God's dealing with you. And you want to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Be honest with yourself, honest with God. If you'd like to pray, why don't you lift up your hand to the Lord and say, that's me, Lord Jesus. Today I'm lifting my hand up to you. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on. Intercessors are praying right now. We want people to, we want to walk out here changed today. This is what this series is about. It's what your pastors are teaching you, to be strong in this hour of the attack of the enemy. We're going to pray a prayer right here, and I want everyone to pray this prayer. I want you to say this after me. Heavenly Father, I do believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, He was raised for my justification, and I receive Him now as my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, Your Word says that if I believe in my heart and confess You as my Lord, I shall be saved. So I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. And Jesus is now Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I rededicate, I reconsecrate, and give my life to You. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for bringing me into Your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now I want you to stand with me. And if you're here with family, I want you to grab hands. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Josh Miller. I just want to pray for families. Is that all right? Moms, dads, you got kids in here, that's fine. Hallelujah. But let's just grab a hold and let's pray today. Because God wants holy, godly families. Why? Because He wants to raise up godly seed that will bring glory to His name. Amen? And that's what we're here for, to produce a godly harvest that will bring glory to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, I pray right now for every home, every family. Lord, it's Your will for every home to be blessed. And Lord, we pray right now for every hurt to be healed. We come against all division, and we pray for harmony and unity to come back into the home. And Lord God, we pray right now that every dysfunctional thing will be removed out in Jesus' name. And Lord, You bring harmony, peace, and direction to each and every member of these homes. And Lord God, we just pray Your covering over every family. And Lord God, we pray right now Your blessing, because You said Your blessing would go not only to our children, but to our grandchildren. And so, Lord, as each generation rises up, I thank You that it's influencing the generations following. And we thank You, Lord God, for raising up a holy, godly seed that will bring glory to Your name. And Father, so we pray Your blessings over each and every home right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a great praise this morning.